Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com. Go!
It took 30 years. It's running out of gas. Yes. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hello, guys. How are you? I thought I'd hear Mike and the Mad Dog. I didn't think I'd hear that.
Yeah. Oh, Dove said not to play. I was like, oh, should we play the Mike and the Mad Dog thing? He's like, oh.
No, you don't have to. Yeah. You don't have to.
Oh, we should have. Come on.
The pink Cadillac,
Mike. That was 96. That was the best of times. This sure isn't the best of times for Yankee fans.
Well, yeah, true. I mean, you lose Soto to the Mets. It's about as bad as it gets here. But you don't like the possibility of Plan B, Plan C? Tucker, you got another arm.
Well, listen, there has to be another plan, but I don't think the plan should have anything to do with reacting to losing Soto. I think, listen, it's a seismic shift in power. It's a seismic shift in the city from a media and fan standpoint. It shouldn't be that for the Yankees. The Yankees should just go about their business. I think the Yankees fall into a trap of trying to win December now, win back the back page rather than build the team properly, which they have had an incredible problem doing over the last 10 years. The Yankees have forgotten how to build the team properly, and I don't want them to fall into the same traps by bringing in older, big-name players, because that's not the route to take. Now, getting Freed, no one can argue that. That guy is a major talent, but the 8-year contract is utterly ridiculous. I mean, it's such an overreaction by at least 3 years. I never would have given him more than 5 years. I don't care who he is. I'm not giving any pitcher an 8-year contract. I mean, the guy's injury-prone. He's got great stuff. No one can argue that, but he's completely injury-prone. And he's got an 8-year contract, and he's 30 years old. I think the contract's ridiculous. But, hey, they got another pitcher, and he's left-handed. And the Yankees got to remember, left, 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 which is why Soto worked. Replace him with lefties. Don't replace him with right-handed aging hitters. That doesn't work. They have enough of those guys.
And Mike, you look at it, they're looking into getting Kyle Tucker. Look, it doesn't replace Juan
That's
Soto.
That's not going to happen. Listen, the Yankees and the Astros aren't going to make a trade. They hate each other. You can't even get them in the same room. There's no way they're going to make a trade. You think they're going to send one of their best players to the Yankees? They give them away first.
If they don't get Tucker then, Mike, and I tend to agree that it's going to be more difficult than it seems at the moment for Tucker. I understand why they'd go after him. But if they don't, then what? What's your plan B to replace Soto? Freed's nice, sure. How are you going to replace Soto and upgrade that lineup?
Listen, I think the Yankees have to take a step back here and be imaginative and be different and think outside the box. And they don't have to go get somebody who is an automatic splashy player. They need to get effective players. Give Dominguez a chance to play every day. All right, we know he's going to be a lousy fielder. We know he's a future DH. We know that, okay? I'm not even against them playing Grisham a lot. I like Grisham. I think Grisham is a useful guy.
Grisham.
I'm not afraid to play him in center field for a while. I am not afraid to do that. I'm telling you. I think the guy will hit home runs. I think he's okay. I don't think he's terrible, and he's a good defensive player. I can live with that, and Dominguez can hit 30 home runs somewhere. He might botch up a lot of plays. We know that. But you know what? You got to give him a chance to find out what he is. It's time to find out how good he is. That's all there is to it. And they need to go out and get the right players. That makes sense. Even Walker's 34 going on 35.
Yeah.
He's too old.
Well, they don't want
those guys.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. I'm with you, and I don't know how Cashman or why he did this all those years where he basically abandoned left-handed hitters. I mean, it was criminal. Yeah. They had no lefties. So I'm with you as a general concept, bringing some lefty sticks, whether it's Tucker or Bellinger, whatever. But they need a first baseman. Every dominant Yankee team had a big-time first baseman. And I know Walker's a righty. I know you watch the games, probably bet some games. I don't know how much you see him in Arizona. Hey, I don't care that he's 33. I don't care that he's a righty. That's the guy that I want at first base, Mike. He's a player.
Wait a second. But you're going to lock him up now.
3 years.
His declining years. Why do you want to do that when you're 1 year away maybe from getting Guerrero? I mean, so why would you do that? There's no reason to lock him up for years. I can live with them piecing first base together for 1 year
if it
makes sense in the long term. You see, the Yankees, the biggest trap they're going to fall into is trying to win back the back page in December and trying to sell tickets going into March because they're afraid the Mets are going to steal all the buzz. And they are. They are going to steal the buzz. It's going to happen. That doesn't mean the Yankees aren't going to draw, but I'll tell you right now, it will mean that they won't draw 45,000 every game like they were doing last year for the last 3 months. That won't happen unless they give them some excitement. Soto gave them excitement last year. They had a real exciting team, except they were fundamentally flawed if you watch them all year, and it obviously came to home to roost at the wrong moment.
Well, Mike, they're also invested in, and I love Gerrit Cole, but, I mean, he was banged up last year. He's getting older.
Don't talk to me about Cole, okay? I'm not a Cole fan, okay?
And if you're not a Cole fan now, I mean, you would expect it to only get worse as he declines. Judge is going to get older. You talk about first base. They may have to move him to first base eventually. How are the Yankees going to get out of it? They got Stanton, another guy. I hated the Stanton trade, and I know you didn't like it either. It was a redundant move at the time in 2018. How are the Yankees exactly going to get out of this mess and build this thing the right way moving forward when they're invested in so much old talent right now?
I heard somebody saying the other day, well, let's see where Judge and Soto are in 10 years. In 10 years, Judge is going to be basically, you know, on the game of the week. The guy is going to be 33 this year, okay? You've got to remember, Soto is a young guy. Judge is not a young guy. They are not in the same position. That was the problem. They're not in the same place. And you know what I kept hearing afterwards? Not only after the reaction, and, you know, the Yankee reaction was either tip your cap to the Mets or, you know, degrade the contract, which was stupid, or act like it wasn't a big deal, which was stupid, because it was a big deal, okay? It was a big deal in every way, all right? So the bottom line, though, is the thing that had to be taken into account is why did it happen? And that became the next thing. Why did it happen? Well, you know what? It happened because Cone is the new owner, and he said, you come here, this is your team. Anything you need, I'll get you. Any player you need, I'll get you. Plus, you know what he told them? I'm not only going to give you more money, plus the contracts weren't equal, because Soto can wind up making like $850 out of the deal when he signed with Cone. But the other part is, Cone probably told them, I'll double your money in 10 years. You give it to me, I'll invest it for you.
Yeah, that's true.
For a living. So, you know what? He's not going to make them $750 million. He's going to make them $1.5 billion in the next 10 years. That's what he's hoping. Yeah. And that's the difference. It was apples and oranges. I would have gone to the Mets on roller skates.
Mm-hmm. So it's owner Mike Francesa, of course, BT and Sal on the Fan. But I want to go back to something you said about attendance. Now, obviously, Sal and I were younger, but we all know the mid-'80s. The Yankees just had pretty much Dave Winfield, Mattingly, and Ricky, no pitching, and the Mets owned the town for a couple years. And back then, Mike, and sure, certainly when you were a kid, when you had a stud pitcher, Dwight Gooden, Steve Carlton, Nolan Ryan, Drysdale, you would have a big walk-up at the gate. But the Mets last year were 17th in attendance. I do agree the Yankees take a drop. Well, do you think that Citi Field, with Soto and with that new buzz, consistently gets 39, 40,000 on a Tuesday against the Marlins like the Yankees do against the A's?
That's, Brandon, that doesn't happen in 1 year. Okay? Remember this. The Yankees didn't draw 4 million people until A-Rod came to the team. Never drew 4 million people, ever. They can't draw 4 million now, but in the old stadium, they never drew 4 million until A-Rod came to the team. The Yankees, go back and look at their attendance figures when they got good. They weren't great right away. That takes years to build that. What I'm saying is, what you don't want to have happen is you don't want all the excitement in August to be in one stadium.
Yeah.
Because then there's 10 or 15,000 people who will buy that ticket that night, and then they start to buy season tickets and start to buy packages so they can get postseason tickets. And when postseason becomes a regular thing, then you start seeing those secondary and tertiary packages get bought so they can get one playoff game and get those different packages. There's 2,000 different packages. It's not all the season ticket people. Right. It's all the partial plans and everything else. That takes a generation. And when the kid wants the Met tickets under his Christmas tree instead of the Yankee tickets, that's a problem. It doesn't happen in 1 year, but the erosion happens drip, drip, drip. And now the Mets are on equal footing. They are not ahead of the Yankees.
Nope.
They are on equal footing for the first time in their lives. And Cohen is the king now, except one thing. He's not the king, in my mind, until he's got a big smile on his face and a trophy in his hands down the canyon.
There you go, yes. Finally. There you go, Mike.
But Mike,
until that happens, you don't own this town. Mm. He needs now, and the burden's on him now. He got the spotlight. He got the headlines. He's got the back page. With that comes the burden. He now has to produce.
They have to deliver. They've never had a sustained success in their history. But they did. Mike, they've won a World Series before. They've won two. They've been to plenty of World Series.
They've never had sustained success. He will have to produce not only sustained success, he will have to produce championship,
which is fine, but they've also never gotten a piece that the Yankees have wanted, especially that the guy that was a Yankee and beaten them in that regard. This is something that's never happened before. Mets have had winning teams, have gotten to a World Series. Never upped the Yankees on this.
Chad, this is a seismic move. There's no question about it. He delivered on what he promised the Mets fan. He promised the Mets fan, I will finally allow you to win a bar fight with a Yankee fan for the first time in your life, okay? I will allow you to get the last laugh for the first time. But now with that, they got that. You had that moment. You enjoyed it. Now comes the responsibility of winning. Now comes the pressure of winning. That is part of it. That's something the Yankees have lived with. And I'm going to tell you something right now, and it's a tough thing to swallow. The Yankees aren't the Yankees anymore. Those pinstripes, that logo does not carry the weight it used to carry. And you know what? That's just a fact of life. And if the Yankees can't live with that, do something about it. Because you know what? It's been a long time since they've won. And they don't act like a small market team. They still act like the Yankees. They still go out and spend money. But the bottom line is they still don't have that Yankee dominance, that Yankee aura that they used to have, that has gone away. It left with George.
He's absolutely right.
Is it fair then to say, Mike, that the varsity now resides in Queens?
No, you're not the varsity until you carry the trophy.
Okay. Yeah, that crowd's heavy, Mike. You wore it. You know.
Mike knows about the crowd.
Hey, you do not. You have to have the trophy to back it up.
That's right.
And Cone's halfway home. He's halfway home, but he's got to understand, as he does his little victory lap around Queens right now, he's only halfway home.
That's right.
He runs the roost right now. He dominates the back page. He's the king of the city right now. But you know what? He hasn't won a damn thing yet.
That's right.
Yes.
So, Mike, do me a favor, just to step away from the baseball stuff for a sec. So I work with 45-year-old Sal.
Yeah.
What the hell was 25-year-old Sal like every day behind the scenes,
dumb
Mike?
Dumb as a brick.
Yeah, I got you.
You had to keep Sal from being Sal, because if you turned your back, Sal could blow up anything, okay? He was a nightmare. Sal wanted to do everything at 500 miles an hour, and he ran into more walls than anybody. He ran into more walls than Evel Knievel.
Mike would go, what's wrong with you? You're just starting to have some success. You go and screw it up. What's the matter with you? No,
Around one day and he got himself fired.
Right, it was so bad that you couldn't even save me, Mike.
I couldn't. Hey, I walked in and they said, don't open your mouth. You can't fix this one.
Wow.
But here I am. Happy ending. You know, I do want to ask you.
That's exactly right. And you know what? I've always, always liked him from the day Sal had a quality. And I always told him, I said, Sal, you just got to, Sal, you have what it takes, but you've got to understand how to play the game. And it took Sal a while to learn how to play the game.
Yeah, a very long time, but I'm happy where it's turned out. And I wouldn't trade those days, Mike, working behind the scenes on your show for anything. We had some great times. I do want to ask your thoughts, though, on the Giants. I've seen you talk about this your podcast on Bet Rivers, of course. You do the podcast. Yeah. You think there's any way that they could justify bringing Shane and Dable back?
I think he is bringing them back. I have seen no indication. The Giants and I haven't talked since the Gettleman years. The Giants got very angry with me because I was very hard on Gettleman. And they got the ownership, John, Chris and I still talk. John and I don't talk. I don't have the relationship with the Giants that I used to. I'm not trying to tell you I know what's going on inside because I don't. But let me tell you this. I know John doesn't want to get rid of these guys. I know he doesn't want to. First of all, if you guys are thinking Bill Belichick, there is not a chance in the world that that is happening.
No.
I don't know if Bill Belichick's going to Carolina or not. I know that he probably would love his son to succeed him, and that's part of the deal. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I don't know what he's doing. Bill Belichick and I are not close. Everyone knows that. Okay? I don't know what Bill Belichick's going to do, but I tell you this. The Giants are not hiring Bill Belichick. And here's the thing, though. Here's the problem they have right now. This is the one issue, the one fly in the ointment. If it was just yet next year, it wouldn't be a problem. If you are going to allow these two to pick the quarterback, you are going to have to give them more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. And I don't know now, as we go down the finish of this season, if they are going to be able to swallow giving these guys multiple years guaranteed. And that's what it's going to take. So that might be the only fly in the ointment right now. Otherwise, I think they'd be back. As far as the Jets...
Before you get to the Jets, I want to follow up something on the Jets. And I appreciate you being honest. Yeah. So you don't really know. You don't talk to them the way you used to. So appreciate the transparency. But just optics, man. If the Giants go 0-9 at home, and they got 15, 20,000 empty seats, which they probably will the next couple games...
They're playing Baltimore this week at home, and then they play in the second to last week, they play the Colts at home. I don't think the Colts fans will fill the building. That game, it will be empty, and they'll have guys with bags on their heads. There's nothing you can do about it. The Raven game, they're probably going to have Raven fans in the building this week, I would think. Okay. And they'll probably get beat by 30 points or something. It could be ugly this week. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's going to make John make his move that way. If he's out scouting, and I know he's out scouting players already, if they're letting him scout the number one guys, the guys they're looking to draft, I don't think they would do that. I don't think he'd be on the road if he wasn't coming back.
Okay.
I think they're coming back. Mm. Everything points to me that they're coming back. Okay?
Gotcha.
I'll be surprised if they're not back. That's the way I would put it.
Okay.
Now, as far as the Jets go, let me say this. I thought the Jets would win upwards of 11 games this year. About 11. I thought they'd win somewhere either 11 or 12 games with Rodgers, okay? So I was completely wrong. But let me say this. This is the one thing I always said was, my great fear is that this coaching staff could destroy this whole thing. And they not only destroyed it, I will say this. I have watched every pass that a Jet player, meaning Rodgers, has thrown all year. I've watched every minute of every game. And they are the worst coached team that had talent I have ever seen in my entire life. They are so badly coached. If they left the coaches home and locked them in a room, they would have a better chance. Okay. Let me explain. I know you guys can probably spend a lot of time on this week, but last week is a perfect example. They have the ball on the 27-yard line. They only have two timeouts, Miami. The Jets have a first down. All they have to do is give the ball to Allen three times. If he gains no yards, they don't need to kick the field goal and give him the ball with no timeouts and 12 seconds left.
They're an embarrassment, man. I mean, Mike, a couple of weeks ago,
instead, they lose 5 on first down. They get sacked on second down. He has to throw a back shoulder pass to gain 14 yards back on third down. They give him the ball back with a minute. I mean, what the heck are we talking about here? The worst coaching I've ever seen.
Which is why I need Mike Vrabel. That's who I want. I need a grown man who's won with average quarterback play, who people are going to respect. I want Vrabel. Who's the perfect hire for the Jets?
Better than that.
No, we get a just put him on hold.
Yeah,
there.
Let's get him.
See if Mikey fix that. Fix that line.
I got to see if he likes Vrabel the way I do. I mean, but his analysis is spot on. I mean, the Jets are.
I want to hit him.
Train wreck. They're a joke.
I want to hit him with Rodgers because I know he has some strong takes on that. And I'd be curious to see who he was going to say there. Hoff, did he drop off or you have him on hold? Oh, he dropped off. If Mike could give us a call back there, maybe he doesn't even know that it dropped off. The line was no good.
He's still going.
He's spitting fire. He's like, guys, what happened? You hung up on me? Oh, man, I could talk to Mike all day long, which is why I wish he could come in studio. The phone are not ideal, obviously.
Yeah, he also did something he doesn't do too much back in the day. He admitted he was wrong. Just kidding.
No, come on.
No, I'm just teasing.
I would be curious to see what head coach he was going to say right there. I'm not high on Vrabel, and I know I agree with Mike. In that Rodgers, I still believe in him. It's not that I wouldn't want Vrabel. I just don't think he's the right guy for it. I think that they could do better than Vrabel right now. I think Vrabel would be okay.
Who's better. You know, Ben Johnson. Everybody else who in theory is going to be better is unproven. That's what the Jets can't mess around with this. They just can't. They need a guy to look at the room. Just tell me when we have Mike back. Look at the room and address it from the perspective of a guy who's won. And what I love about Vrabel, number one, he's no nonsense, and he's obviously, you know, from the Belichick tree, and he's a grinder and all that stuff. But it's not like he won with a quarterback who threw for 4,900 yards and 41 touchdowns. You're like, well, can he win without that? He won with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
11 and 12 games.
Yeah, no, I get that. I don't think he'd be bad. And also, the way he would want to come here, do you think that's even going to be allowed by Woody? I'd rather have the upside and determination of Flores than I would Vrabel. I kind of know what Vrabel is. He's solid. He's okay. But the upside with Flores to me is potentially more, I don't know, appealing than it would be than bringing Vrabel back. Mike is now back. Yep. Go ahead, Mike. What were you going to say about the head coach for the Jets?
Hey, I heard fans got some issues. Are they paying the phone bills or what?
Take it easy, buddy.
Well, Mike, we do, but I think that was on your end.
Well, you took all the money.
Well, I agree with that part, but I mean, I think I paid for my phone. I think maybe it was mine. I'm on my cell phone, so maybe you're right.
Listen,
I don't know where we were. So
Jets head coach. Who do you want for the Jets head coach? I want Vrabel.
All right, here's the thing. I'm going to be in the minority on this. I want to bring Rodgers back. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Rodgers, now here's the problem. I don't know exactly what they allowed Rodgers to do and not do this year. I don't know who knows exactly how much power he really wielded. There's been a lot of speculation on this. Okay? Bring him back as a football player. He has no power now. Okay, no Hackett in the building. That should have happened last year before the season started. Okay, he has no power. He's a football player. He is not the problem. They can win with him if the offensive line has a clue about what it's going to do and they run the right plays. The way they're running the offense makes absolutely no sense.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, they have some talent on the offensive line. Now, I wanted Smith. Smith was unhappy there all year. I know that. I know he wasn't happy. All right? He was in Dallas his whole life. He's a Hall of Fame player. He's making $20 million. He's not completely healthy. He wasn't happy. He thought the place was probably well beneath him. Whatever. The bottom line, it didn't work out. But I think if they put a real line in front of him, I'd like to bring – I want to draft the quarterback. I want to build the staff. I want to bring him back for 1 year. I don't think they'll do that, though. I think I think he and Woody are probably at too far at loggerheads for that to happen. If you're going to start with a new coach, with a new quarterback next year, and bring a kid in and start over again, you know what? they're not even going to be watchable. So I don't even care who they bring in. It's going to be another.
Well, that's encouraging.
And if it is Rodgers, Mike, who would you then bring in as a head coach? Would you be open to Flores? Where you at with Gruden?
I would bring in. I tell you what I would do. And I'm telling you, I wanted to do this when they fired Saleh. I wanted them to bring in an offensive coordinator, a new one, okay? Leave the defensive coordinator and bring Pete Carroll in as the head coach for the year. I think they would have been in the playoffs if they had done that.
Would you do that now with Carroll, even next year?
I would bring in a coach short term with Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I would do. If the only way I can get the offensive coordinator from Tampa out of Tampa, I would make him the head coach. And I would hire a defensive coordinator who is a veteran guy, who's a proven defensive coordinator, who has control of the defense completely. I would hire Cone in Tampa because I can't hire him as an offensive coordinator. It's a lateral move. Yeah. I can't do it. He's an assistant coach. They'll never give him up. They love him. I want that guy to run the offense, and I put him with Rodgers, and I bring in a whole new coaching staff, and I would bring in a veteran guy to oversee it, but I would make him the coach of the future.
See, Mike, and was out of Mike Francesa, BT and Sal on the Fan. I got to push back on something you said about Rodgers and the power. And you're right. We don't know. Does he have absolute power? Does he have most of it?
I don't want him to have any power.
Well, I agree with you. But the problem is, Mike, and you know this, once you have the hammer, once you got all the juice, you can't take it away from him.
No. Yes, you can in 2 seconds.
How?
You go in and tell him this. Here's what you tell him. I am either cutting you, and you can go take a walk, and I'll go, and you know what? Show me your clip when you get to Canton, or you can come back here and prove you aren't this guy, and this isn't your legacy, but you are the quarterback, and that's it. You're not running the team. You're not even running the offense. We're going to have a cooperative offense. We're going to have a head coach, and we're going to run a real football team. We're not doing what you want anymore. You screwed it up.
It sounds
right, he had a chance.
No doubt. It sounds awesome, Mike, and I like to believe it. And I'm not saying that maybe it is more possible than I don't think it is necessarily. But the problem is, he might lie to your face. Oh yeah, no, I'm good. Oh yeah, no, I'll conform. And then he gets in a month later, he's squawking. He wants this. He wants that. He's subverting the head coach. I don't know if I could trust him, Mike.
Hey, I tell him this. I swear, the first time you get out of line, I'm throwing you out the door, okay? This is your last chance, and now you have something to prove. Where's your prize? You want this to be the final saga in what you built? And I'm telling you right now, okay? He doesn't want to go out that way. He has great pride because you don't become him without having immense pride. I'd be throwing up if I were him. If I went out on the radio the way he went out at quarterback, I'd be throwing up every day.
Mike, why weren't you in the Yankee booth at all? Carton was there. BT
was there. Mike,
how come you didn't get to call one of these games?
I got to be fair. They asked me, and I turned it down.
Okay. You didn't want to do that? Call a Yankee game?
I said no. I never fashioned myself a play-by-play man, and I didn't have any interest in doing that. And Susan and I have a wonderful relationship. We always have. I talk to Susan about the Yankees all the time. Whenever I need to know something about the Yankees, I call Susan. She tells me. So I always talk to Susan during the season. I even talk to Susan sometimes during the game. I text her. She texts me. So, you know, I do speak with her. So it had nothing to do with Susan at all. But I just didn't want to go in there as a play-by-play guy. I didn't think it's what I do. I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So I said no.
How about Sims getting the job?
No problem with that. I mean, you know, I know he and Susan are close. Davis carved out a nice niche for himself as a play-by-play guy. He's a real solid nuts and bolts guy. And you know what? Good for him. More power to him.
And Mike, now, by the way, I don't know, you know, maybe you hit a nice tropical island at some point here in March, but just reserve the Francesa jet, because at some point I expect to see you in one of these cities watching our Johnnies with Patino, a little Sweet 16 here, Mike. You pumped up about this season or what?
I do not like what's going on with Smith.
Yeah.
At all.
Go ahead.
I'm very disappointed in what's going on. I did not like the Richmond. I was not as high on Richmond because I think Richmond in some ways hurts the offense. Okay. He's very limited. He's got to go to the basket. He's got to have the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But if they, if he figures it out and he is Rick Pitino, and Rick Pitino, whether you like him, don't like him, whatever, is one of the great basketball coaches of all time. Okay. Not of an era of anything else, of all time. Okay. That team, if it can figure out how to take good shots, which is a big obstacle for this team, if it can figure that out, this team can be a Final Eight team.
There you go. Listen.
I got to look up who Smith is myself.
Well, he came from Utah, the transfer. You're not wrong about Richmond. He can't shoot. He looks out of place so far.
The best team in the country right now is Auburn. But by March, because of Cooper Flagg, Duke might be the toughest out of all. Because Cooper Flagg is just downright scary.
He's frightening. He's sick. I've watched him a bunch.
Definitely
so,
scary.
I just want to follow up, though, like because I agree. I remember saying this to Sal when Coach Cordesecca passed away. We were talking about St. John's, and we had Rick on the show. And it was mostly about Lou, and, of course, rest in peace, Coach. But I said, Pitino, like, there's nobody else I'd rather have this responsibility in his hands. And I said, he's one of the greatest coaches of all time. Now, you've seen a lot more than me. Who's on your list? I mean, you go Wooden.
Greatest coach of all time is Bob Knight. I don't even put anybody with him.
All right, Bobby
John
Knight.
John Wooden had a system.
Yep.
John, Coach Wooden, I have great respect for. He had a system.
Yeah.
Okay, but he also had Walton. He also had Walton and Jabbar back-to-back. Okay, I mean, you know, you could have won with those two.
Coach K. Yeah. Coach K, Calhoun.
Knights first.
Yeah.
Krzyzewski modernized the Knight doctrines and softened the image and then was able to take it to an even higher level.
Got it.
A more modernized level in terms of recruitment. And the most underrated guy, by far, is Calhoun. What Calhoun built is the greatest building job done in college sports in this century, what he built at UConn. Absolutely, he is the architect of this whole thing, and what he has built is unbelievable. He is so underrated. History has not even been fair to Calhoun. That's how good he is. And the other guy who is highly underrated, and people won't realize it until years from now, is how good Jay Wright is.
Oh, Jay's amazing. It's amazing.
But the greatest of them all, Pitino is unbelievable, but the greatest of them all was Bob Knight. I don't think there was anybody better than Knight. At the top of his game, I don't think there was anybody ever who was better than Knight.
Last one for me, Mike, and we really do appreciate the time. It's a blast having you back on the Fan. Really appreciate it.
Yep.
We just did this before you came on. Oh. WFAN Mount Rushmore. Give me your top four.
Come on. How can you ask me that?
You got to do it, Mike. Come on, Mike.
Who better to ask than you? I mean, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. All right. One big rock. Me. That's it. You know?
Yeah.
That's all.
Yes,
come
that
on,
is
Mike.
The best.
Oh, listen,
man.
Seriously.
Hey, you going to chisel out a little pebble from there?
Just remember this. Just remember this, seriously, guys. None of this happens without Iman. None of this.
Yep.
Not Ike and the Mad Dog. None of it. And Dog and I, you know what? What we built will last forever. And Dog deserves any accolade that comes his way, and he will always be remembered as one of the pioneers of this industry, and luckily so will I. But we don't do this without Imus. This doesn't happen without Imus.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it. Hopefully we get you in studio at some point soon. We really do appreciate
it. See you guys.
Time.
Bye.
Hey, thanks, Mike. There you go. We got breaking news here.
What?
What happened?
Yes, we have a quarterback change for Sunday for the Giants. Tommy DeVito's taking over.
Oh, he's back in?
All right, Tommy.
It's funny you say that because I was thinking to myself driving in today. Listen, I'm like, why the hell is Drew Lock starting?
I don't know. Drew Lock stinks. Yeah. I'd rather watch the local kid. I mean, if you're going to watch, if you're going to be tortured by the Giants for however long you stick with them, give me Tommy DeVito.
Locke is in a walking boot, Hoff is saying?
Yeah, to a heel injury.
Okay, so maybe it's an injury thing. Who cares? At least DeVito.
Matter.
And even then, like, it's over. I mean, even just watching this team. maybe against the Saints. If you still want to watch this team against Baltimore this weekend, come on.
They're going to be, what are they, 15.5-point dogs? Something like that?
Unwatchable.
Destroyed.
All right, BT.
How about Mike's answer, by the way? One big rock.
That's the best answer ever.
No, I don't want to answer it, guys. Not really. That's just me. Biggest rock in the world.
Yes! He's not wrong. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. That was fun, man, talking to Mike like that. My favorite part of still being friends, and it's even weird for me to say that, but, you know, because I grew up idolizing Mike and loving Mike and listening to Mike and the Mad Dog. And my goal, BT, as a young kid was I wanted to be a part of that WFAN family. Like, that was what was driving me.
Me too.
I needed to be a part of that family.
You know it.
And then I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to intern, work my way up, become friendly with Mike. And he was always the first person outside of myself that believed in me on the air. So he'd bring me in with him and Dog, and it was like the highlight of my life. I still cherish those moments and those tapes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then being on his show, and when Dog left, working with him and doing the picks, so all those things. But and maintaining a relationship with him years after, it's very important to me, and I'll always respect him and love him for that. But playing golf, and maybe next year we can make it happen. Hopefully he invites us out there and you could come. But it's just my favorite part is just talking sports.
Yeah, like, he loves sports,
Mike,
man.
Mike off the air. Yeah. Like, it's all we talked about on the golf course. A couple of things outside of sports, but it was, you know, Rodgers this and Salah that and Giants this and Yankees. The lunch afterward, Mike just talked. We're just talking sports, Cowboys and Lions, whatever it may be. I'm like, my God, man, I'm talking sports with one of the greatest to ever do it. Just
as a peer.
That's what I'm saying. It's incredible to think of it.
I love seeing you get that excited. You know him much better than me, so it's different for you. But you know, I've certainly known him a little bit, and I listened to him forever. And Mike is Mike, man. Mike is one of a kind. You know, and Mike's also the kind of guy where you can have a 2-hour conversation, to your point, about Mike, and it could be exclusively about sports, and it's awesome.
Right.
But you could also do 2 hours on politics or finance or travel or movies. Like, he's just a very very interesting guy. He's got to be in the right mood. Mike's not, but then again, none of us are always in the right mood. Mike could be a little grumpy. I'm not talking out of school. Me and Mike had the blow up, but that's why
had a blow up off the air or
off the air.
Oh, here in the building?
Oh, God. Ooh.
That bad?
It was awful.
God,
it was awful.
Really?
It was bad.
Like yelling at each other?
Screaming at each other.
What the hell are you doing yelling at Mike?
MF at each other. They started yelling at me. I'm not going to sit there and take it.
Why? He's Mike. Why would I? You got to sit there and take it.
He's a human being.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk out of school. I mean, come on. But it was so bad. I mean, it was bad.
I think it was in the papers or something. I don't remember. I was not here.
Well, the papers called me. And I remember after it, I went outside. And Mike, it's all good. I'm not trying to do that if he's listening. I really do have a lot of respect for Mike. To the point where before I went to San Francisco, after I left 10:50, I used Mike's counsel. I'm like, Mike, this is a big move. Like, for me to go and lead, I'm doing the Wheelhouse, SNY, doing St. John's, I've been on the radio for 8 years. Do I do this? And I'm not saying it was Mike's opinion that just drove me to the deciding factor, but I certainly leaned on his opinions. I've always respected it. I really like Mike. But that day, it was ridiculous. And I remember the papers, I won't say who, calling me because I went downstairs. You know, you can imagine me when I get worked up, really worked up, not a sports worked up. Like him, and I got calls. I'm like, I'm not talking about it. I could have probably turned that into a big story and tried to get pub for me.
Right.
I'm like, I'm not doing it. I turned down every request. Other people eventually picked it up. It was so bad that we were in Spitz's office, and Spitz was between us. I would never touched Mike, obviously.
God.
It was ridiculous how bad it got.
Everybody
in the newsroom was watching. It was ridiculous, man.
Sorry I even brought that up.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think back to
why'd you bring
memories.
That up, dude?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I was saying we were talking about your relationship with him. You said that you got into it.
But that was after, the relationship.
That was before you came back for?
See, this is what's so weird about it, because the relationship was built on, number one, always respect.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And what people don't know, and I think you know this, is that but I'll say it because we're talking about the old school stuff, and it's all good. When Dog left,
you were one of the names that came up.
I went and I had lunch with Mike and Chernoff in a diner in Queens.
I remember.
Okay, and I know Sid's name was in the paper and Max's name was in the paper, and I told my agency to keep my name out of the paper, which probably hurt me in hindsight. I probably should have blown it up. Anyway, so Mike Mike liked me as a talent. Right. That's where he didn't have lunch with me because he thought I was a scrub. Like, he was interested. Now, I'd be not quite the co-host, right. but, right. you know, he'd be the man, and I'd be kind of chiming in, whatever. But
I think you were going to be, like, the update guy.
No, I wasn't going to be the update guy. I promise you I wasn't going to be. I can promise you that.
I think he was going to have me in there with him, and you were maybe going to run the board,
I
think.
Okay, So it started from a really, really good place, right? And then that didn't work out for whatever reason. And then I went to San Francisco, and I talked to him about some contract stuff and some things that I needed guidance on, and he was amazing with it. And then when I came back for CBS Sports Radio, and I think I texted him a couple times in San Francisco, like, I never lost hope. Not a lot. I'm not trying to overstate it. But then we just came back, and I'm not going to tell you why or how. It just got off the rails fast.
I think Mike's one of the guys, and I don't know this 100%, but like, if I would have had to pick one guy that many of us younger guys in the business would look up to and look for advice from, Mike's the guy.
His business sense is incredible.
As smart as they come. Dave is in the Bronx. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. Really appreciate the topic. And I just, you know, towards the end of Mike's radio career, the whole thing turned into like a joke in terms of all the prank calls. And it was a shame how it ended. And I know there's a Twitter account that kind of really amplifies or highlights all of Mike's clownish moves on the radio. But I respected the guy as a radio host, but towards the end, he became like the laughing stock of the
Dave, he was still number one book. He was still number one.
And
people like to clown the guy, but I want to know from you guys, because I know you have respect for him, how did you see that playing out? Like, did you guys respect his radio show when everyone's calling up and clowning him for falling asleep, for being
but that was stupid. I thought that was more, and I know what you're saying, Dave, and thank you for the call. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for Mike as a listener. I remember actually one time, check this story out, BT, and I might have told you, but I'll say it again.
Okay.
2000 World Series. I'm there with my buddy Vin.
That's a very good day.
I mean, you go back 25 years. Now, I was not working at the Fan at the time. I didn't start as an intern until 2003. Mike and the dog were doing a show, I want to say, if memory serves correct, outside of Shea Stadium, kind of by right field where you used to get off the train and walk down there.
I want to say they were
broadcasting live from that area. It could have been a different area, but that's where my memory is.
Okay.
And Mike and Dog came down after, like, during breaks and would go in the crowd and sign stuff and mingle with people. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, it was the first time I got both Mike and Chris to sign something. And I remember a listener or a fan that was there, right to Mike's face, as Mike is there signing, like, something for me or whatever, other people were in a group and I'm standing there. And he says something like, you know, Mike, you're a real jerk on the radio or something like that. And Mike handled it well. It was just like, well, then don't listen, whatever it was. But he handled it well. And I, even without knowing Mike, got on this kid.
Oh, come on.
Yes, I did. Like, what are you talking to? How are you talking to him, Mike? What are you talking about? Get lost. Like, how disrespectful and rude could you be?
Mm-hmm.
Here he is doing the show. We love the show. And you're here. He's signing autographs, talking to people. And you're going to be disrespectful? So that was before I ever knew him. Just to give you, like, where I was coming from.
You had his back for a minute. What it sounds
100%.
Like.
100%.
All right.
And then, obviously, working with him and getting to know him. Like, all those different things. So, do I like the fact that there were certain things? I think people make fun of everybody. They make fun of us. They make anybody on. So, and Mike was the biggest, you could argue, to ever do it, especially at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Solo Mike doing those shows. Those are 5.5 hours a day for one person.
Bro,
I don't want to do that.
That is some grind.
I did it on the overnight for a little while doing those 5 hours. That's brutal. Imagine doing it every day.
Yep.
I don't care how great you are.
It was also he was getting older, so he wasn't fully into the digital era where, you know, like, so he was a little slow to embrace Twitter. So, you know, now when somebody makes a mistake, I mean, it's amplified. And listen, there's always the other side. And, you know, Mike is a legend, and Mike is amazing in his own ways. Mike could also be ornery, like all of us on some level. But I'll tell you this. When I was an intern here, and I was upstairs in the promotions department back in 97, I remember, because I just graduated college, and I forget, maybe it was shoes, and somebody's like, oh, you play college baseball, right? And for whatever reason, they let me play on the softball team. When I ran out, I think we may have been playing the Islanders in front of like 2,000 people, like at Mitchell Field, if I had this right, somewhere out east. I remember coming, and I was playing, but I remember coming out to pinch run for Mike because he had jacked up knees even then. Like, just jogging on the field, just giving a little. Now, my dap was more enthusiastic than his, but I was like, this is awesome, man. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Come on. Tim is calling from Indian Hills. Tim?
Hey, guys. Great show. Great job with Mike. I thought it was excellent.
Thank you.
The only thing is, I was surprised BT,
yeah.
You should have asked him about Thornton Wilder, you know, when he started opining to Susan and maybe, you know, if he was a part of our town.
That's true.
That's a great point, Tim. I wish I had thought of that myself, otherwise I would have. Have you seen a Broadway show with Susan? Are you familiar with our town? We could have gone there. I did not. Maybe next time.
That's a good call.
For the call,
missed
Tim.
Opportunity by
you know,
us.
I was lying in bed last night trying to remember the name of... Now, our town, but trying to remember the name of the play or the show. I still don't even know what it is.
I didn't give it second thought. I'll never see it.
No, I want to watch it. I want to impress. Come on, I don't want to disappoint Susan. I want to watch it next time, educate myself. She was saying that she got people that were saying, how do these guys not know what our town is?
Oh, yeah, no, I get it. And listen, I'm very comfortable in my intellectual space. Yeah. I don't pretend to like everything. What I know fairly well. I do like the theater. I'm going the day after Christmas with my family.
Oh, what are you seeing?
Elf.
Oh,
yeah, man.
Okay, the musical.
100%. Okay. And I've seen, you know, Chicago, and I've seen all those. Like, I've seen and done more than I let on, but
when I, was
I don't
in
care
the city,
that I know
it.
No disrespect to Susan. I mean, I know she loves it, and she's great at theater. I don't know it. What do you want me to do, apologize?
No, I don't feel intellectually inferior.
No, I'm not going to go watch it.
Well, I always feel intellectually inferior myself, so it doesn't really matter. There's no difference with that, but I would watch it just out of curiosity how great this is. Thornton Wilder, never heard of him. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll take a quick break.
Come back here.
Yeah, we'll get to your calls. 888-808-1019. I mean, we did have Mike for like 35 minutes, I think, without a break, so we got to get a break in. But we will get back to your calls as well on the other side. Get back to Soto, the Mets, Yanks, see what the latest is. I did see a report about the Mets and a potential trade. I'll mention that when we come back. So still a lot to get to here. BT and Sal on the fan.
And since we just had on the FAN legend, we got to poke some fun at our buddy Evan, who's our co-worker. I mean, what the hell he did to the studio. It's ridiculous.
Hey, Mike, used to have a legit train set. You remember that one that they voted for him?
Choo-choo. Yeah, I definitely did. Bobby Bacala would be proud. This is ridiculous. What Evan Bo, I don't know what the hell he did here.